You're listening to Atomic Moms, a modern parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our children and ourselves. I'm Ellie Noss, and since 2014, we've been celebrating and commiserating with world-class experts, best-selling authors, and parents around the world. Hi, everyone. Ellie Noss here. New listeners, I have a 6-year-old Sabrina, a 2-year-old Eliza, and a very handsome, funny, immunocompromised husband, Adam, in his early 40s. I am recording this in our home studio. Maybe I just said that. I have no, am I the only one who's totally losing all mental capacity right now? We are on day 6 of, you know, total isolation slash quarantine. We are all well. I took my temperature this morning, 98.6. It was so nice to see that number. And yeah, we're just riding this out. Am I losing it? A little bit. But here's what's helping. I am lighting candles and remembering to blow them out. I am having dance parties with my kids. I am going to start streaming Broadway musicals on Broadway HD today for Sabrina. We have started playing chess, although on day 5 of quarantine, my 6-year-old has already beat me at chess. So this is going to be a really, a challenging time for us all. Also this morning, I saw both my girls had milk boxes they were drinking out of. Adam had given them our shelf-stable 2 milk boxes, and we have 2 gallons of milk in our fridge. So that was a bummer. I'm curious what you all are experiencing at home. You know, all the little like marital friction things, like all the ways that when Adam and I were writing our sitcom last year, because kids for ABC, and we were, you know, just the marital stuff, the hiccups that happen in the kitchen, they feel a little even crazier now because I'm like, we're rationing that milk. That's shelf-stable milk. Like, I feel like we're on a different planet now. Keep checking out our social media. I'm going to be sharing a lot of things that actually are helping me there. Also, go to AtomicMoms.com to sign up for our newsletter. I'll be sharing resources there as well. This episode, I just wanted to share 2 moms talking about the craziness that is right now. My virtual girlfriend, Sunny Abada, we've never met in real life, but she did the intro of the podcast with me that we did for Glozell and BeautyCon because she's obsessed with skincare. Anyway, she reached out to me and asked if I would come on the podcast to talk about all this lunacy. And I said, of course. And then, of course, I wanted to share it on my podcast. So thank you, Sunny, for being so generous and sharing our content that we made together. And everyone, definitely go check out her podcast. It's called 30-something with Sunny Abada. And just so you know, she is a reporter turned social media and podcast guru. She is the mother of 3. And yeah, she asked me to come on to, you know, share some calm and positivity in my classic Atomic Moms thoughtful way. And did I do that? Not really, but it was super fun to commiserate and, you know, share how quickly things have changed in the past week and what I've noticed. And, you know, the final embarrassing public moment I had before we all went on lockdown. So enjoy this conversation. Share it with friends. We are here for you. I know that we're all here for each other. Okay, here we go. Social distancing, extreme family time, and final moments of freedom. We'll be right back.
Okay, Zoe, can you hear me now? Like, how is that echo? Is it better?
It is so much better now.
This is my freaking class. Okay, hold on. I'm going to go lock everybody out of my life. Hold on. Okay. So yeah, we were talking before. I'm really starting to feel like I'm failing in the discipline department with my kids because we're recording. I know, fully know that they're going to barge in, even though I said probably 14 times, I'm going to be in here. Don't come in. Don't talk to me for the next half hour. But there's like no knowledge of consequence for some reason.
Well, they also love a good challenge.
Do your girls do that too?
Oh, yeah. When I lock the door, then they just start banging on it. And yeah. I think a couple months ago, Sabrina had this habit. We had a caregiver who's no longer with us. I mean, I should start that over, not because of coronavirus, although we are on lockdown now and don't have any caregivers. But Sabrina was like sneaking out of the house and interrupting my podcast interviews.
Oh my God. She was like crossing turf to make it to you?
Mortifying, yes. And I was like, oh my God, get out of here. So yeah, they like a challenge. And I as well am learning how to get firm with my boundaries for the first time ever.
And how's that going?
It's going to be a rude awakening for our whole house. You know, it's a little prickly right now. I'm getting firm with my boundaries with my spouse, with my children. It's on and off. It seems to be working with my 6-year-old. Her eyes kind of got wide and she realized like, oh, I guess she is serious. I've always been very wishy-washy. I mean, in the past 6 years of parenting, I've always been like, oh, like I always felt bad or something about saying no. And now because the world feels so scary, I'm feeling a very strong line in the sand that I've never felt before. And I'm, and they are actually backing down. How about you?
I love that. No, I really identify with the part where you were saying, having a difficult time saying no. It's really in my nature to see both sides of every argument.
Yes. Oh, that is why. You're right.
Are you a Libra? Or are you a Virgo?
No, I'm an Aries.
Okay. Oh, an air sign. So you go with the flow.
Well, I'm Aries. Is that air? Yeah. Or is that fire? I don't know.
I think it's air, but I don't know. I think it's fire. I'm totally Googling it.
But yes. Okay. Cause I've been thinking that it's because I feel guilty, but I know in my gut, that's not really it. And you just nailed it for me, and saved me probably years of therapy because you're right. It's actually because I have always seen both sides of the argument. I can always come up with the reason why, mm-hmm. even though my 6-year-old is so good at that I don't even have to do that for myself anymore. And I think that's probably growing up with divorced parents and always trying, you know, when one of them would say something about the other one, I would always try to think of like how I could defend that other parent or why they had that behavior in my mind.
That's probably why you do what you do now. And that you, by the way, you were right. You are a fire sign. but I don't know.
Burn it all down.
Right, sister. No, I like that though, because as much as it can get in the way of really important things like discipline, being able to see multiple sides of an argument or understand how to sort of moderate a conflict. Mm. I think that's a great life skill in general, but I agree that it's really gotten in the way of my parenting too, because I will just sort of sit in this middle space and I let my 7-year-old argue with me, not argue, but like sort of go back and forth in like an attorney kind of person being grilled style. And he's like, but okay, so what if we do this? I'm like, wait, I'm the parent. I get to say no. But it took me way too long to get to that conclusion. I don't know why. It's really disappointing. How are you girls doing, by the way? I know you just brought something up. I know this episode is going to be coming out in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. And I know there are a lot of parents out there who are in this boat, which you just really accurately described, which is like needing to become captain of the ship all of a sudden, and not just in a parent way, but in a teacher way and in an activities manager kind of way. So how are the girls holding up right now and how are you doing?
Well, yeah, we're recording this Wednesday, March 18th. I feel a need to share that because, you know what, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. It's also funny because my daughter's entire life, whenever my husband would put the iPhone video on, I was always the one like popping in saying the date. And so that became like a running gag in our family. Like I always had to say what the date was. And I don't know why. I guess because when I was growing up with the VCR, you always had the date on the bottom of those videos. We don't have that anymore. that in this moment, I was like, because this is very, I think I had to share that because very quickly, this is going to feel like a time capsule. because things are changing so drastically and so quickly. The girls are doing really well. It's so for know me, my husband has rheumatoid arthritis, and he was diagnosed a couple of years ago when our second daughter was born and his body was completely falling apart. When he couldn't put our daughter's baby socks on her because his hands weren't working, that's when I finally put my foot down and he saw a rheumatologist and able to connect the dots. So he's on a medication that makes him immunocompromised, which just sets my whole, you know, coronavirus hysteria to another level. So I took Eliza out of preschool 2 days before they shut down. Sabrina, they emailed our school saying, Sabrina's six and in kindergarten. And they said, which I thought was a very lovely email, and hopefully it was enough to help keep us all safe. They said, you know, send your kid to school Wednesday, but Thursday and Friday we're shutting down so that we can have the teachers learn how to do online schooling. So after that Wednesday, both of my girls stopped going. You know, they haven't realized that they're not going back. I feel, I have this weird sadness about my preschooler, Eliza, like her sleep sack still in her cubby with her little like doll that she sleeps with at nap time. And there's a real, because yesterday they announced that the schools are, you know, the governor of California said that they maybe most likely, who knows, there's a good chance that they won't go back to school until fall. Just the idea that my older daughter won't have her incredible kindergarten teacher, Carly, anymore, that Eliza won't be able to hug her preschool teachers goodbye for the year, like that there's no sense of closure. And the idea that our kids all still have stuff in their cubbies, it's so eerie to me to imagine like all these schools have, you know, their lost and founds are full. And it's just so bizarre. One trick that is really working for me, and if any family is still getting groceries or doing Instacart, it's probably available because it's totally insane. I've been bribing them with Cool Whip. And if they eat their dinner, they each get a spoonful of Cool Whip. That's and awesome. It's really been a useful currency in my household.
That's awesome.
And, you know, the online drawing stuff. I mean, there's so many resources, luckily, that are out there. I put a schedule on my Instagram on like day one of what we are trying to do. And we're staying flexible with it. And I didn't mention in the caption, but then later I was concerned that parents might think that I was trying to like overparent or tell people that you need to be a super mom right now and like already have a homeschool plan. And nobody said that, but that's just like the critic in my head. But it's been very helpful because my girls really, really do thrive with a structure, and knowing that they have the next thing to look forward to is very helpful. She has a girlfriend who lives 3 doors down, Sienna, and they were on FaceTime. And my daughter, of course, was like, let's trade toys, which is not the time to do that. But Sienna dropped off a little plastic toy in our mailbox, which of course I like bleached down. But it was so funny because it was a horse. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the Trojan horse. Like
the literal Trojan
in our house. But that was a pretty difficult moment for me to realize one of her best buddies, because I saw them through the window going to the mailbox, and I didn't tell Sabrina they were out front because I know that I would have to tackle my kid to the ground to keep her from seeing her friend.
I know that you guys, you worked in entertainment before as well as Adam, and this whole past week has had a very strangely cinematic feel to it. It's like a frozen in time moment. Like you said, kids' items left behind at school and, you know, half a year's worth of work just kind of piled in their desks for now. And of course, all the seniors and people graduating. I mean, they're losing memories, but I keep going back trying to remind myself of the bigger lesson that is in there for the kids. And we have to have this glass half full approach right now, because frankly, it would be totally depressing. And I do feel for moms of kids who are on that, like one of those brink years, like you with kindergarten graduation. That's huge. I feel for you. I'm just wondering.
It's okay. But well, I'm sad about the teacher.
I do think that was a big year, you know, watching my son. I remember last year watching him walk across the stage and his little, you know, cap on and his fake little kindergarten diploma. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling myself there's a bigger lesson here. I know that I've already sort of been really explicit with my kids about what exactly is happening. Andrew thinks that I'm batshit because I'm always like, listen, guys, there's this virus going around. It could maybe kill your grandparents. Andrew's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's just like slow down. But
I'm laughing, but I shouldn't be. But yeah, I mean,
I kind of have to. They want to see Mimi and Papa. And so I have to say, listen, when we see them, we're going to pull in their driveway and we're going to drop something off and we're going to go home because blah, blah, blah. Is your tactic with your kids like, and they're young. I mean, gosh, Eliza is a baby still, but are you one of those parents who sort of errs on the side of, let me give you the kid friendly version of the truth? Or are you just like, okay, let's just push this back until it's necessary to discuss?
All the kindergartners had already been talking about it. And they knew. I am really cut and dry. It's so funny because like on my podcast, I try to like channel my Oprah self and it's like very understanding. And in my real life self, I am very cut and dry with my kids. I have a hard time coming up with the language, particular moments to soften the edges. And so, yes, they know that it's a threat. They seem to be handling it well, although my two-year-old bit my six-year-old this morning. But that might be more about all the screen time she's getting. The one moment that was really touching and poignant and kind of sad was when I put Eliza to sleep the other night. And again, she's two, she's in the dark and she didn't want me to leave, but she never wants me to leave. And it's like, takes forever to put her to bed. And she said, "I don't want to get the flu, mommy." And I was like, oh. And I hadn't, and I've been very careful. You know, I'll say you need to wash this or like, don't you answer that door or don't touch the Trojan horse until I bleach it. But I didn't realize that it had really gotten into my two-year-old's head like that. I've also been really careful not to put the news on. Unfortunately, I made the mistake of signing up for an app where I can listen to cable news in my earbuds on my phone. So I'm able to like keep up with it where they're not hearing it and not seeing it on the news. But I should probably like delete that app immediately for my own sanity. How about you?
I'm overly like communicative. I mean, this is maybe TMI, but like my kids know about periods already. Like they walk in on, you know, they know about how babies come out of your body because they asked me one day, how did I get out of there? And I told them I laid them like a dino lays an egg, which isn't, you know, it's a kid.
That's pretty
version.
Awesome.
Yeah. I was like, I kind of had to like squeeze you out. And they're like, what? But I mean, I may be the wrong person to ask. I've been around parents before. I think I've offended them with my bluntness, but I always try to make sort of a sanitized version of the truth because my thought is this. There's a pandemic going on. Our world is forever changed. And the last thing I want is for, especially my son, who's seven now, he's old enough to understand and need to know why he's doing certain things. I just don't ever want to shield them too much because then it seems like they can't ever fully appreciate. Now, my kids will completely be in therapy, I'm sure, by the time they're like 12 at this rate. But I don't know. I'm overly blunt about this stuff. Yeah. I mean, even today, I don't know how it is in California. We're in the Orlando area down here. And there are people going on with life as normal. And it's infuriating.
What?
So we live in like a little a neighborhood that has a little downtown area. And Andrew drove home today. You know, he's isolated at work. So he's doing his own thing. but coming home for lunch and there's people eating lunch sitting next to each other. The stores are open and the restaurants are open. I find that that really triggers a lot of anxiety in me. We were in the car the other day and my whole thing was, you know, if this is an indication of how we treat each other when the world is ending, or at least there's like an actual life or death threat for a certain group. This doesn't make me feel very good. This is very disappointing to me. And we were driving as a family that day and he was like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm really mad. And it sounds so stupid, but like,
no, it doesn't.
I mean, do you feel that? I know Adam's health has been something that you've recently really opened up about on your podcast,
just in time for the pandemic. Well, I started sharing about it.
I know, but you know, I think that's good though, Ellie. I mean, it really personalizes this for people who may not have that person in their life to understand why it's necessary. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go off right now and so many people who just, like I said, continue to be sort of living life as normal, but, you sharing that has been like a big step, I'm sure, in like sort of letting some of that out too. That had to have been hard to hold in for so long.
Yeah. I mean, I was scared of mostly for his work. So he's a screenwriter. You worry that someone won't get work if they don't, you know, because people are so judgmental about like, oh, well, is that person going to be well enough to do this thing? Are they going to be able to go shoot a movie in Atlanta for 6 weeks? And if Hollywood's listening, absolutely he can. But that was one of the reasons why we kept it private. And I agree, it's totally infuriating, especially because so many of us are locking down and taking this seriously. And as long as idiots are out there running amok, it's just going to make this harder for everyone. Mm-hmm. I also find it interesting that the boomers aren't taking it seriously. I am equal parts, you know, very concerned for my parents, and also very frustrated. Starting in January, my little brother and I were texting my dad with like, you know, there's this virus and it's scary and blah, blah, blah. And my dad's like, no, we're still going on this trip to Europe. And you're like, no, you're that's insane and you shouldn't. And then finally, like 3 days before the trip, Trump shut that down anyway. But I think a lot of people are talking to their own parents and realizing like, why aren't they taking this as seriously as they should? Because they will eventually take it seriously. And I just don't want it to have already been too late. And then my other concern is just about the idea of something else happening and not being able to go to the hospital. So for example, my stepfather playing tennis seems like a great way to, you know, blow off some steam. You're far away from another person, blah, blah, blah. But like, just don't twist your ankle because I don't know how you're going to get help. And that's been also like to circle back to the kids thing. I've been honest about this with them, but where they're really going to need therapy, and I think it's probably true for this entire generation of children that are being raised right now, besides the OCD aspect of washing your hands. By the way, side note, my two-year-old will only, so I have, is it Aesop, that fancy soap?
Oh, yeah. In the brown bottle, it's like $40 for
it's eight. Literally $40. it's the soap that I like bring out when we have guests over.
I like, love that you have guest soap. That's amazing.
Oh yeah. I have guest soap because it's like in our front bathroom, but the kids use that bathroom all the time. And I'm not using the $40 soap for them, but you know, we'll look back fondly on these little like remnants of the previous life we had where I had $40 soap for my guests.
Oh my gosh.
But Eliza will only use that soap because she really likes the texture of the pumice. So I think I'm going to start putting sand in our regular soap.
Oh my God. Mom, what are all these scratches on the back?
I guess I should probably Google that first. So it's the OCD thing, but then also my constant threats of do not get hurt right now, as they always get hurt. And Eliza's always falling off things and hitting her head. And we can't do that. I think that's, I mean, I'm tempted in the backyard to put them in their bicycle helmets. I mean, I don't, this is where I get really weird. And I think that's something I'm going to have to deal with. Like, it's just not only the germs thing, but the potential injury and like, how do you get help if you are hurt? And then, yeah, so the grandparent thing is, I just wish people would listen. And I wish grandparents would take it seriously. And I'm like, wait a minute, you guys have been freaking out about everything else. I mean, fine, I'll get political. But like everything else, Fox News has been so incendiary and alarmist. And they've been freaking out about all these things that weren't actual threats. And then this comes along and they've just been like, it's not that big of a deal. You're like, outrageous. What are you talking about?
I saw something on my
liberal agenda that we're all going to run out of hospital beds. Like, no, it's reality.
Yeah. I have a friend who, this was on Saturday. So, you know, 4 days ago, like posted in an act of defiance that he and his wife are going out to dinner because the media can't stop me. It's like, no. The virus is not part of the media. What is killing people is not part of any agenda. It is, in fact, science, and people are dying. It's just, it's really, again, it's shocking what this brings out in people. And it really does show how coddled as a nation we've been. We've been able to sort of slap fight over politics for so long because our healthcare system generally is great. And, you know, the medicine that we practice keeps people for the most part pretty healthy. And then Mother Nature comes in or some act of God like this and sweeps our country and show like really puts people in their place. I'm hearing a lot of parents say that a surprising upside to this quarantine has been like going back to sort of like how it should be and like kids learning practical skills around the house and, you know, learning how to finally make their beds. And we're like starting to do that stuff that we're kind of too busy to do day to day life. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I agree with you. There shouldn't be some expectation of parents to sort of take on the teacher role and everything all at once. But these little moments do present themselves when you're locked in a house or in your backyard all day.
But totally. And it's so strange because, you know, we had our caregiver quit on us at the end of January and I was super bummed out. And the funny thing is like a week before she quit, she had said that my six-year-old was in the backseat of her car and said, I just want more family time.
Aww.
I'm like, well, Sabrina, be careful what you wish for. But so when that happened, I took over all afternoons and I decided to do the podcast only every other week. And so I had a little bit of a warm up to this, thank God, because it's such a learning curve when you go about life. I mean, when you have school-age children and you know that they're gone for 7 hours a day, I mean, yes, I've spent the whole year complaining about the kids being sick all the time. They got hand, foot, and mouth, and that was like 3 weeks off of school and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there is time away. And now, no, we're all stuck home together and I'm not going to risk anyone else's health coming over here to help. So it's on us. And yes, there are moments when I'm like, oh, this is going to quickly devolve into Grey Gardens. Like, disaster.
That's awesome.
I mean, we're doing a lot of show tunes. I mean, we're kind of losing our minds already and we're only like 5 days in. But it has been very helpful to go back to the basics and to remember, you know, that people have parented for thousands of years without all this extra BS. And we're lucky that there have been all, you know, big shout out to like the Mormon mommy bloggers out there. Like there has, thank God, there are all of these resources of, you know, women who have been homeschooling and have parented in a slower way. Like I look up Montessori activities, you know, we made homemade Play-Doh yesterday. It is an opportunity to capture some of these moments with our kids that we worked past.
Yeah.
And it's also crazy because I, in the episode I just released, I talked about my great aunt Ida at the beginning and she was 104 when she died, but the idea that what we have right now is enough. And that's, and she always, she didn't have much, like, but it was always focusing on, you know, writing letters to her friends or like, what are these other ways that we can connect with one another, especially when we're isolated? And you know, I would, and I'm basically like, how did my great aunt Ida stay sane, isolated in her apartment in Northridge for so many years? And it was books on tape for her. I once found she, when I was like in my early 20s visiting her, and I would go about every 6 weeks, but she had, and then more often later, she had the Kama Sutra as an
Oh my God.
That was when she was like 100 years old.
What? Like in an accessible place, as in she had just been like sort of perusing it recently?
Yeah. And the best part is it was from the Braille Institute. It was the tapes.
Oh my gosh. Stop. I love it. Is she the one that you said would eat sauerkraut, make her own sauerkraut all the time?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Yes.
I mean, listen, you've got some good genes in your family. Whatever recipes she was cooking up, I would immediately start to do because that is insane.
You're right. Oh God, we should go buy some cabbage on Amazon.
Just to add to your to-do list, you must now have to ferment your own foods.
Well, seriously. I mean, it's, but it's the idea that we're also, okay, so this is another trick. With my kids about like what were lessons they're learning, right? Like when mom says no, she really means it now, especially this week because I'm about to start my period. So like no means no. the don't waste food thing, which I mean, I'm like, oh my God, I'm already reenacting the Great Depression. Because I'm like, what? Like, should we start watering down the soup already? Like, but I am like, okay, you have to have a no thank you bite. And if you don't like it, then that's fine. But I'm not even putting more than a no thank you bite on your plate because I'm not wasting that food. And I'll put a smaller amount on their plates. And then I say, you know, please have seconds. Absolutely. But we used to just pile, like, I'm so sick about every day after school throwing away half their lunch.
Oh yeah, it's really gross when you look at it. Or this is a small thing, but it's always like grinded my cheese a little bit. The ketchup, they'll like take the whole freaking bottle of ketchup and squeeze. I'm like, no, you're wasting all the ketchup. Yes. And I feel like I'm like not cheap about it, but that just don't waste. You
don't
know?
Waste. I know.
And now that we're like rationing food, I mean, we are trying to be deliberate. I baked my own bread yesterday, Ellie. How
so impressed?
Old person is that? Well, it's like super easy non-rising bread. It's
you gotta
send
me the recipe.
I will. I'll
hopefully I already have the ingredients because in California we're out of everything.
Oh gosh, that's scary. Yeah, how is it in California versus everywhere else? Because you guys were the starting point. I know we kind of are right behind you, but I know it really started there and quickly. So are there truly no people out on the streets or how are they following the rules up there?
So in Los Angeles, you know, a lot of my girlfriends and I have been paranoid about this for, you know, a good month now. So another thing I had to figure out is how to have, and if your listeners have recommendations of like how to deal with adrenal fatigue, because I've been panicking about this for, you know, since January. And now it feels like the rest of America has very quickly caught up and it's been sobering for, you know, at least most of us. But, you know, the first day that there was like announced no school, there were a few texts going out about like, who wants to have a play date? Or there was some talk still about, you know, spring, because we were supposed to have the next 2 weeks off for spring break, you know, who wanted to host a spring break camp. And because of my husband, I was like, no way, like I am out. Mm-hmm. But then that quickly stopped. I think everyone realized very quickly that that was done. You know, I went to the grocery store on Thursday. I took our housekeeper. She has a car. So I drove her there and, you know, gave her cash to buy food because, you know, I think I've been paranoid for so long, but most people were going about their lives. And to realize that Thursday, even at Albertsons, and it was like, of course, you know, you mentioned it being very cinematic. It was like pouring down rain. Couldn't get a parking spot. I parked on the street, two blocks away in the pouring rain. And, you go in and then it was just like shelves were empty and the lines were so long. And this was so crazy. I ran into a girlfriend of mine whose son is in Sabrina's class. And I like stayed the 6 feet away from her. And it was just like, and we were like, this is so crazy. And I was like, I'll call you. She's like, yeah, but you have that impulse to hug. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be something that we're going to miss that camaraderie and touch. And I think that's what's so beautiful about the work you do is like to be able to create this camaraderie virtually, but also like, I'm going to start digging in more into like self-care and like, how can I hug myself? Is that like a heating mm-hmm. pad that I put mm-hmm. on my chest? Like what are ways that I can get that? So the world doesn't feel so cold and isolating. I went for a jog yesterday and we live near Griffith Park and there were a lot of people out and a lot of people walking. Seems mostly like families. It did seem like there were a couple kids, moms working together, which I think is insane. But I was in it. I mean, I was jogging and I was, you know, zigzagging because I'm listening to the 6 feet apart thing. And I was like, then half the time I end up running and jogging in the middle of the street. Because also like there's the whole thing, like I feel like men need to wake up a little bit too. Like it's not fit, like if, like I wish the guy on the sidewalk had gone in the middle of the street instead of me having to do it.
Right. We're chivalry. Chivalry is dead.
Yeah, chivalry. Well, because 2 weeks ago when I was at the gym, there were a bunch of empty treadmills. And of course a guy got on the treadmill right next to me. And I was in the middle of my run, but I was already so panicked about all this that I got off the treadmill and I like got on a treadmill like four rows, you know, four over. But that's sort of like the LA equivalent of mansplaining, like in the subway, right? It's like in LA, it's like they get on the treadmill next to you. You're just sort of like, give me some space.
Yeah, that's true. Especially like in a time like this, like, dude, give me two or three at least between us, okay? Yeah.
I mean, and now they've officially shut down all gyms in LA. And the really sad thing also, you were talking about the restaurants and stuff, like I have so many friends in the restaurant business and they have so many employees and it's just devastating. And I have a girlfriend and who does caters events and that's gone and, you know, for now. And, but you know, that's going to be true across the board. It's going to be a really, challenging time for so many people, but do you remember like the last time you went out?
We haven't gone out. Oh gosh. I mean, we've been picking up, well, not lately. On Saturday, we picked up food to go. We were around one couple that night that we had plans with. And my husband kind of works in like a warehouse space that was just recently decontaminated. So we brought some pizza over and watched, was it Contagion? The one with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh my God, I love it.
A real fucking treat, let me tell you that. I was like breathing into my shirt by the end of it. Andrew's like, P.S. You're not, like, that doesn't help. Anyway, it was just, oh my gosh, talk about anxiety. That was the day before I had like the car anxiety attack as we were driving. But that was the last time we haven't been around people. We have a loop, like a lake.
Yeah.
We kind of walk our loop. Me and the kids, we just ride our scooter, go in the backyard. Aww. You know, we and the same with California, have the ability to be outside, thankfully, at this time of year. It's yeah. great weather. So I can, my heart really goes out to parents who are hunkering down in cold climates where really all you can do is hang out in the family room or the basement because that's horrible.
Yeah. Or, you know, in so many families in small apartments.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, we're coming face to face. I've talked before too about like, my general inability to like slow down, like getting quiet for me is like a deliberate act. And so I really,
that's why we're friends.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. It's just like this, the top never stops spinning, but, it really like being in close quarters like this and being deliberate about finding time to, be by myself or separate myself from the kids to do something like this or to feed that part of me that needs a little, it feels good. And I know that they're going to be fine and I'm going to be fine. And it's just, I don't know. We're taking it a day at a time. I'm frankly of the belief that we are at the beginning of what will continue to be just an enormous disruption in our lives. And I have friends in the news industry too, who are still going in to the station. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm calling people and I'm like, like, can't you do this? Like, Savannah Guthrie's anchoring from her house. Can't you guys, like,
right.
hear this? I'm like worried for people who are still out mm-hmm. there. And it makes like you
extra
grateful.
Hugs out there for all the yeah. healthcare professionals.
Oh my God, yes. Nurses,
and everybody who's stocking those grocery store shelves.
Yeah, it's
and all the delivery people mm-hmm. And the truck drivers and everyone who's literally keeping our country moving right
oh,
now.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Huge. And to their families.
It's
thank
insane.
You for doing it. Anyone listening, thank you. And I think it's like I want to. Oh, I'm looking down because I was like, I want to have something like positive to say. But Adam is always saying, it drives me insane. But it's good advice for both you and me, which is like, when you're cooking, you're cooking.
That's it. Just finish that.
When you're, yeah, because I'll be like cooking and trying mm-hmm. to order blah, 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 and trying. Mm-hmm. deal with it. You know, it's like, no, when you're cooking, which, you know, easier said than done when you've got kids with you all over you.
Yeah. It's insane. I was trying to make breakfast, order books on Amazon yeah. and run a math lesson for one kid, like all at the same time at breakfast. I literally have gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, Sunny, I split things into quadrants now. Like, so my kitchen, I think of it in like distinct parts visually. And if there's something on this side that needs to be done, I have to just do that first. And then I move to the other side because I will just do half of a task and just walk around the island until like eight are done. And it'll take 14 times the amount of time that I need to if I just stuck with one thing at a time. Okay, I have to ask you this because last time we chatted, we were talking about self-care and beauty products. And you were like kind of a novice in the area at that time. And I know that you just interviewed the founder of True Botanicals on your podcast, yes. Atomic Moms. And I have been dying to get your take on, you know, what you're doing and what your routine looks like now that you're like kind of dipping your toe in. I'm proud of you, girl.
Well, you'd be proud of me because Nordstrom right now has everything 25% off. So I went ahead and ordered some more face oil. Because in California, at least, I don't know if it's going to be shut down. Like, I don't, you know, that was a ridiculous panic buy at 3 a.m., which again is also me probably just trying in my attempt to hang on to the vestiges of our past lives.
consumerism.
Yeah. But yes, it's going well. Adam got me some fancy. A stone thing for Christmas that you was it
like a
about.
Like a is it like a gua sha tool like for your face?
That's exactly what it is.
Yes,
exactly.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Do you remember
really
offhand?
Like,
what brand is it?
In a black box.
Okay.
And I don't remember the brand.
Is it by Wilding Beauty by chance?
No.
Okay. I know they make a great tool.
No, but it's been very helpful for like my lymphatic drainage and for all the stress on my neck on either sides of like. I carry so much tension in my jaw and in my neck. And that's been a nice treat.
That's awesome. And do you use it with your True Botanicals facial oil? Like how do you, yes. like walk us through what you
that's
do?
That's it. It's so funny. Why am I resisting talking about this right now? It's like, cause I'm still like ashamed that I do these things, but also it feels like the world is crumbling.
when the world is falling apart around you, Ellie, you must moisturize your face.
Right. I mean, now all we have is Instagram for communication. So my face should look good. that was a joke. Let's see. I also use Lancer still.
Okay. The exfoliating scrub.
I really like the exfoliating scrub. And then I don't know. What is my beauty routine? I wash my face in the morning. I'm the worst at this with you. I'm sorry. Oh, I did. In my last little like jaunt out into the world, I got hot because I didn't realize it was all going to fall apart. although I had a kind of a, you know, I was panicky, but I just thought I was Chicken Little. So my final day as Chicken Little before I realized I was right. I went to Glossier and their cloud paint and their tinted moisturizer. I have a virtual assistant that helps me with the podcast, Olivia. And so I was like, and she's a millennial and she likes makeup. So I was like, what should I get? And she gave me a list. So So I got those things. But the funny thing was all those people were trying on the makeup there. It's just like it's what you do at Glossier is it's just counters full of the makeup for you to test yourself and then tell the people what you want to buy. And I was like, no, thank you. Here's my list.
I will not be touching any of this.
I was like, I am not touching any of this. And I got highlights, which, you know,
Nice. Are
pointless now. Wish I had the money back. But yeah. And then the crazy thing. Oh, so I bought that stuff because I was also going to my, our preschool had a gala because my preschool is, you know, imagine Big Little Lies, the big gala, always
It's like that. Is that real? That stuff is real? People are that fancy?
So, yes. And so now I've been just counting down the days since that event in terms of whether or not I might have the virus because it was at the Roosevelt Hotel and there were hundreds of us and we were all, you know, dressed. That's why I was dressed as Faith Hill and Adam went as Tim McGraw.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram. History. Okay. Yes.
So I did. You'd be proud of me. I did my own makeup for that.
That looked great, Ellie. Big round of applause. That's huge. Okay,
because of the Glossier purchases. And also I couldn't be happier that I didn't do a makeup artist that day because then I'd really be panicking.
That's way too close to the face.
Contamination.
See, that's the difference between me and you. If someone came in a full-on hazmat suit and was like, listen, I'm infected, but I'm safe, I'd be like, fine, just give me a massage. Do my makeup.
Yeah, right.
Too much.
That it was, oh, and I did drink a little too much at that. They have a live auction part. And because of last year with Adam, he was having a little bit of a hard time walking for a little bit before his meds kicked in. So we got the parking spot next to the school that they auction off. And so it was being auctioned off again. And I had a little too much to drink. So I decided to go up and like storm the stage and take the mic and tell everyone why the parking spot was so great and why they should bid on it. And that, you know, we got, you know, it went way up. I like to say, cause I did such a good job selling it, but now I keep thinking about the microphone that I had touched.
Oh my gosh, you are too much.
Because and it was an actor who was like emceeing it. So now I just keep checking deadline, hoping there isn't going to be some alert that he has it.
Because I don't know if this is like disproportionately affecting Hollywood or we're just reading about it, but every time I go on usmagazine.com, it's like a new celebrity or athlete. Oh gosh, I hope they're okay.
I hope they're okay. And I hope the microphone wasn't the end of me.
This is so funny. I love talking to someone who shares my just total, just over analysis of life because I do. Like even today, I got the kids home and we just were in our car, but I like got a bleach. I bleached our own handles. I made them wash their hands. And it's a whole lot. But you know,
I mean, do it now so that you're not looking back. Like, I wish you had said that we were on the, you know, the front end of this, and it's true. And I wish I thought I was being careful, but I just wish I could have taken, I just worry about the kids in school and stuff like that, because I know that those, you know, I mean, a simple cold goes through a class in about 2 seconds.
Oh yeah. It's insane. So what does Adam do as someone with RA? I know obviously the immunocompromised position would mean that he's just in the house and whatever, but like, is there an extra step that you take? Like, is he not going outside at all? Or, cause that might be helpful for someone out there who is a family member in a similar situation. Just tell us what exactly
he's
you're doing.
I'm not letting him go out right now.
Yeah.
And I can't really say it that way because then he'll defy me. Where he was trying to like go through our food quickly so to have an excuse to leave the house. And I had a total meltdown and I think he got it. He's, you know, I think it's a good thing that work seems to be picking up for him, that or he's just a great liar. Like I'm sure for a lot of us, like very quickly the spouse will be like, oh man, you know, because it was silent in Hollywood, or everything got canceled basically this weekend. Like he's working on a few movies and he was supposed to go into Warner Brothers for a few different things this week and all of that got canceled. So it seemed like, okay, there's a lull. And then by yesterday, which was Tuesday, everyone decided that they were going to work online and have these like video conferences and stuff. So I'm going to run off this call and he's going to have, you know, a full day of meetings online. But I also think he's like so grateful to be able to say like, oh God, work's back. Cause you know, just four days with the kids is enough.
It's too much. Yeah.
It's too much for me.
I know. I really, not to get all old fashioned, but it seems to be harder for men. I'm not like endorsing that or criticizing, but they just really can't. I don't know what is in their makeup. Threshold.
It's true, but it's also a bummer because I'm curious how this will, I love how I'm like, I'm going to just say the word curious now, like for everything, so I don't sound so doomsday. I'm just curious about how this will play out for women and equal pay and all of these things we've been fighting for, because now we're all home together and I'm definitely feeling the like, okay, yeah, Adam, like go back to work, like get your stuff done. Like you are paying our mortgage. And I'm lucky that right now, you know, his projects are, as of this point, still moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so I'm weirdly having this 1950s thing of like, okay, I got to figure out this kid stuff and be really good at it because he's, I'm not going to be getting sponsors for the podcast.
I know.
Although I do feel like there's a great opportunity to interview incredible people right now. So that's like, you know, like yourself. So it's going to be an interesting new balance to find.
Yeah. I feel like we're all going to end up a little more connected after this. We're going to get through it, Ellie. I know from one fellow anxious person to another.
One quick tip.
Yes. Give it. I love it.
So Adam was using, that's not true. I love that I just automatically want to put it on him. And I've got to stop doing that because literally he's my only person now because we're stuck in our house together. at least another month. Some of our liquid dish soap, you know, it'll like pour out of the bottle so fast. And I was noticing how quickly it was going. And I had a hand soap dispenser that was almost out. And so I filled that with our dish soap. And so now when I use the dish soap, it only has that one little pump versus it all pouring out of the bottle. And I can't believe the difference it's made in terms of conserving that.
Well, that's actually really smart. Yeah.
That's my great depression tip of the day.
I love it. You're channeling great Aunt Ida. It's Ida, right?
Yeah, Ida. and also for St. Patrick's Day yesterday, I put green food coloring in their rice and they loved it. So, you know.
Oh, that's so funny.
When in doubt, just embrace food coloring. Try and order it now while you can.
I love it. Wait, one thing before I go, this is just goes to show you what a total fucking airhead I am. I confused. I can't even say this out loud without getting embarrassed in front of no one. I was under the impression that St. Patrick's Day was the 14th. I was confusing it with Pi Day. And Andrew, and so I did this whole like leprechaun thing last week. And I was like, oh, he came. And Andrew's like, what are you doing? It's not until the 17th. I was like, oh my God, I'm so dumb. So we lost all of our steam on anything St. Patrick's related because the leprechaun already visited on Pi Day to my house, 3.14. So, you know, I do what I can. I'm good at some things. Other things just slip right through the cracks.
So. I mean, I keep thinking about Easter.
That's going to be
like, we're all going to be home with our, you know, with everyone. And what can I hide in these plastic eggs?
That's right. I know. Get that bunny a hazmat suit so he can come in and do his job. Ellie, thank you so much.
This was so much fun. Thank you.
Yeah, people probably know where to find you, but I want you to just go ahead and give us all your handles and where to find you and tell everybody where we can listen to your podcast.
Okay, you can listen to my podcast wherever you listen, but also Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. If you just search Atomic Moms, you'll find it. I have a website, atomicmoms.com. I have over 240 podcasts with best-selling authors and world-class experts, and also like amazing moms like yourself, where we just commiserate and have fun. But there are a lot of resources in those conversations about how to handle, conflict between siblings or with your spouse, you know, how to stay sane in the craziness. So I'm really proud that, you know, has been building up for 5 years and people can listen to it now because we really need this. I thought I needed it back then, but now that I'm really in it with my family and all of you are as well, like now's the time to catch up on that stuff. on Instagram. I'm at Atomic Moms. And I've been having fun connecting with listeners that way. And how about yourself? You know, so I can share this on my end, Sunny.
Oh, yeah. I'm just, my podcast is called 30-something, even though I'm about to age out of that decade. So all ideas for new podcast names, welcome. And I'm on Instagram at Sunny Abatta, SONNIABATTA. So we talk a lot of beauty and self-care there too. So
I'm sorry. I was bad at the beauty answer.
You know what I'm going to do? Next time I get like a nice, generous little PR mailing, I'm going to like pick out some stuff and I'm going to mail it to you, like some of my favorite stuff, because it's, you know, I'm your project.
You are.
Very like clueless of me, right? I'm like,
I always think about that scene. I always think about that scene because even when I saw that movie the first time and I was like in middle school, I was like, oh, I'm the girl getting the makeover.
Are you Thai?
I'm totally Thai. Even though, you know, what's really funny is I'm girlfriends with Rachel Blanchard, who played Cher in the television version.
Oh my gosh, stop.
Listen to that episode of Atomic Moms.
Oh, I have to. I mean, what an iconic. Now that you say that, I'm going to go back and watch that. It's just, that movie was just
so great. I know. I wonder if we can find the TV show. Because yeah, Rachel played Cher in the TV show. And I wonder if we'll be able to find that. I mean, thank God. As long as the internet works, we'll have lots of different ways to get through this.
We will not start killing each other until Netflix goes cold and then it goes
our
dark.
Children, yeah.
We're going to be in trouble. Okay, Ellie, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. No, thank you so much. All right. I clearly don't want to get off the phone because then I have to go back and take care of my children for the next, 14 hours?
Oh, I know. It's going to be long. Hey, I'm here if you need anything. And I am going to see if I can gather up a few products and send them you, right? Just for fun. Because, you know.
So sweet of you.
When the world gets serious, it's fun to play.
I love that. Thank you. And I will definitely Clorox them down first. Yes.
Oh, God. Yes, you're right. I'll wait. I'm going to wait until afterward.
Like, don't risk your life by going to the post office right now. But no, I appreciate the gesture.
Okay, I'll get in touch in like six months with that. All right, Ellie, thank you.
Something to look forward to. All right, yeah, thanks. Absolutely.
Bye. All right, girl. Bye.
All right, everybody. Again, special thanks to Sunny for asking me to come on her podcast and for letting me share this with you all. Don't forget to check out all the cool things she's doing on her platform. I want to give special thanks to Owen O'Neill for working on this with a quick turnaround. He's in Brooklyn. And special thanks to Jeremy Turner, sending love to your beautiful family, Jeremy. He did our original theme music. Yeah, big hugs out there to Rachel and your beautiful daughter. And special, special thanks to Olivia Hasty, our production assistant. She is always a virtual assistant, and never has it been a better time for that. Thank you for keeping us going. All right, everybody, until next time. I don't know when I'm going to release next. It might be sooner than 2 weeks from now. So just keep checking social media and sign up for our newsletter so you know. All right, until next time, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on, Atomic Moms.